The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
You ever have to push yourself? The other day I woke up, I was so draggy. I woke up, man, I couldn't hardly put one foot in front of the other. And I had big plans that day. The day before, I had so much energy, I didn't hardly know what to do with it. And every time I turned around, I couldn't get to do what I was planning to do because I kept getting pulled off. Which I was pulled off for good things, so I'm not complaining. Because I was getting pulled away to do things for the Lord for people that I didn't expect it to. And that was good. But there were things that I had on my agenda that were good things, godly things, that I wanted to do and accomplish, and I couldn't get to them. I'm like, well, it's always tomorrow. I'll do them tomorrow. And I woke up that next morning, and I just had to literally just kick myself out of the bed. And I slept 8 hours. I couldn't hardly even get out of bed, and I couldn't hardly even put one foot in front of the other. Here's what I felt like. I felt like giving in to it. I felt like, you know what, I think I'm just going to go back to bed today. I don't know what's going on with me. I don't know what's attacking me, but I think I'm just going to go back to bed. And I don't want to. I want to have energy. I want to feel good. I want to get these things done. So I just forced myself not to go back to bed. I forced myself to begin to walk out through that day. And man, I felt like this. It's like, grab your old fleshly body and kick it. Throw it over there and then drag up to it and get it up again. And you ever feel that way? The word that describes that is lethargy. So sluggish, so heavy. Nothing in the physical realm that I knew, that I was aware of. But all of a sudden, I felt heavy. And it wasn't after I got off the scales. I'm not talking about that kind of heavy. But literally, even physically, you just feel like somebody's been messing with the gravity. They turned gravity up on the planet, and I weigh about 100 pounds more than I did yesterday. I mean, it feels like I'm sinking. It feels like, and even my face, I feel so heavy, it literally feels like my face is sagging. I haven't got nothing. I feel like my tank is out of gas. My face is sagging. I feel heavy. That's lethargy. That's the feeling of being lethargic. Come on. Those things attack us from the outside. If you feel like you can't even lift your head up, maybe you feel condemned. I don't know. Maybe you feel ashamed. Maybe you feel regret. I wish I would have done this different and that different, and now everything would be different. Now I got all this stuff I got to deal with. I got a newsflash for you. You can't change your past, but you can let your now change your future. This is what God gave me in 1997. He said, your future is not determined by your past. But your future is determined by how you respond to God today. What day of the week is today? Sunday. When I wake up tomorrow, will it still be Sunday? No, it'll be Monday, but you know what it will be? It'll be today. And on Tuesday, it'll be today. And on Wednesday, it'll be today. And Thursday, it'll be today. And you get it. It's how I respond to God now that makes all the difference. The enemy always wants to make us feel like that we're stuck in this situation and there's nothing we can really do about it. You ever get that? You know, there's almost nothing in our lives that's not subject to change, and it does change. Sometimes we got it all going on with them. Wow, I finally got all my ducklings in a row. Good for you. Wait till tomorrow. Because it's not going to stay that way. So since change is inevitable, I want the change in my life and change in your life, but I only get to call the shots in mine. I want the change in my life to be changed for good. So what I need to do is this. If I made a decision yesterday or last week or last year or 10 years ago, I made some decisions that were not the greatest looking back on them. And there's consequences in my life that I'm dealing with now. I can't fall into the pit of regret and despair thinking that that's going to help me. It's not going to help me. Imagine someone who spilt their milk and they just stood there for a week crying over spilt milk. Is it going to help the milk to cry over it, to regret it, If I would have only grabbed it with my strong hand, if I had only put those things down before I tried to grab the milk, it's just regret. And the enemy tries to just wear us out with what if. What if this? What if you'd have done that? What if? And I want you to realize this. If you feel like it's hard to lift up your head, if the devil can shut you up, he can shut you down. And if he can shut you down, he will take you down. Help me out, John 10:10. The thief comes only steal, kill, and destroy. First thing he's going to do is what? Steal. What's he going to steal? Well, he's going to try to steal the word. He's going to steal it out of your heart if he can. He'll steal it out of your mouth. The word in your heart is like having bullets in your gun. It's good to have bullets in your gun because guns don't work very well without them. A gun with bullets is a good thing, except if it don't have a trigger, right? What's my trigger in the realm of the spirit? How do I fire off an armory of weapons that will shut the enemy down? I open my mouth with faith-filled words. And when I'm tempted to gripe, when I'm tempted to complain, I'm not griping. I'm not even complaining. I'm just telling it how it is. Well, is that how you want it to be, friend? Well, no. Then don't talk like that. You're not the sick trying to get healed. According to the Bible, by his stripes, you, come on, what's the next word? Were or are, depending on whether you're reading it from Isaiah 53, where it was first prophesied, or you're reading it in 1 Peter 2:24, where it's confirmed that it is for us as new covenant believers. You either were healed or you are healed. And I'm going to tell you this, if you were, you are. And if you are, you is. And if you'll fight with faith, not only can you be healed, you can live healed. But I'm going to promise you this. Satan is not going to set back and just let you have all the benefits of God without challenging you. Show us Psalm 103. Y'all get in your Bible there. All I want is God's will to be done. Amen. Somebody needs this or I wouldn't be ministering it. Don't be shy. So that's me. All right, we'll continue. He wants our words to line up with his word. So in Psalms 103, David the psalmist, same David who, what's he most famous for? Do y'all know? For killing the giant, Goliath, right? But it really wasn't David that did it. How many of you know who did it? God did it. Because David said this, he said, you come at me with a sword and a shield. And he could have said, and all your big old muscles and your whatever, you know. And he goes, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. What did David keep calling Goliath? Do you know the story? It's in 1 Samuel 17 if you want to read it after church. But he kept calling Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine. They all the other Israelites would go and they'd look at the size, the enormity of this man. And let me say this. When it says he's a giant, he's not a Disney giant. He's not 75 feet tall. His shoes are not as big as this church sanctuary. That's just fantasy. But this man, who's referred to as a giant in the scriptures, is over 9 feet tall. That's a big old boy. He's so big and huge that his spear shaft is as big as a weaver's beam, the Bible says, about 2.5 to 3 inches in diameter. On the end of this long spear that he carries is a bronze tip that weighs, the Bible tells us every detail about it, that weighs 15 pounds. I don't care how he uses that thing, man. He could club you with it, throw it at whatever. He could stand it up and it fall on you, it would hurt you. It's huge. His weapons are huge. And he's been being trained to be a warrior ever since he was little. And he's got these tremendous weapons. And not only that, he's got an armor bearer that walks beside him, carries a shield for him. And all the Israelites heard this big old giant step out day after day and say, I defy you by my God, Dagon. Like who? A demon. And the Israelites who are in covenant with God, who, listen to me, you can be in covenant all day long, but if you don't know you got a covenant, what good is it? That giant was huge. And all the Israelites, all they could do was look at the size of him and the size of them, the size of him and the size of them. They looked at his largeness and their smallness. See, because they descended from a bunch of people who had a promise of God that said, I'm going to give you this entire land. I've already given it to you. Just go in and possess it. And just so you'll know that I'm not lying to you, send some people over there to check it out. So they sent 12 spies over there to check it out, and they come back carrying a bundle of grapes, one bundle of grapes, tied on a pole, carrying it between two men. I'm going to tell you something. They don't sell them grapes at Walmart. If they did, you couldn't afford them. Them are some grapes now, because God said, I'm sending you into a land where all the fruit will be blessed. There'll be figs and pomegranates and grapes, and there'll be brass in the hills for you to dig out. Everything you need or want is in abundance. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And I give it to you. I gave it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. And then he told them this, so go take it. I give it. You got to do what? Take it. Hallelujah. You know what they did? They sent 12 spies over there. They looked the land over. They gathered the fruit, but they saw something over there that they didn't expect to see, apparently. They're over there, and they're spying out all the land, and they gather the fruit, and everything is exactly as God said it was. It's a beautiful land, a land where there's abundance and plenty, but there's giants over there. And they have fortified cities with big, huge walls. It wasn't just, oh, you mean you're not just going to open my mouth and drop it in for me? I actually have to do something to get it? Yeah, you have to believe me and just simply do what I tell you. I'll take care of everything else. All I need you to do is believe me and act like it. And you know what they did? They came back and 10 out of those 12 spies, that's a pretty large percentage, isn't it? 10 out of those 12 spies, they said, yeah, the land looks just like we heard, but there's big giants in that place. Every city has fortified walls. If we go over there, we're going to be killed. We're all going to be killed. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Here's what I thought. Which one of you big, brave souls walked over there and said, what do I look like to you? And he go, you look like a grasshopper to me. They didn't do that. Where did they get this crazy idea? I'll tell you where they got it from: their imagination. Everybody say imagination. Do you know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, worldly weapons? But they are mighty weapons through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I just quoted to you 2 Corinthians 10:4. They didn't trust God. They had a covenant, a guarantee, but they didn't trust in it. Only two of them stood up and said, it is as God said, and we are well able to take this land. Based on what? God said it, that settles it. As far as I'm concerned, it's a done deal. And I'm going to talk like it's done, and I'm going to act like it's done. Somebody needs to hear this. There's lots of benefits in this Bible. But if you don't know they're yours, you probably aren't going to partake of them.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at The Truth Broadcast. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
David didn't go out there and talk about how big that guy is and how little I am. When they ask him, you know, you're just a boy. David said, well, I'm going to tell you something about this boy. He said, while I was keeping my father's sheep, a bear came. I'm the shepherd of those sheep. That's my job to protect them, and that bear came. And I ran after that bear with my own bare hands and killed that bear with my bare hands because the Lord is with me. And a lion came. A lion. Sorry, sheep. See ya. Nope. A lion came. He chased the lion down, killed it with his bare hands. David did that. A lion and a bear. And he is just a teenager. And he chases down the bear and he chases down the lion, not because he's macho. It's because he knows that God is with me. What was David doing out there in that field when there weren't bears and lions to have to rescue the sheep from? Generally speaking, it was a very lonely, quiet place. David had a harp, and he would play his harp, and he would sing songs to the Lord up out of his spirit. He had an intimate relationship with God. And one day when he's keeping his sheep, his dad says, "Hey, son, go check on your brothers over there on the front lines of the war with the Philistines." And that's when David showed up and saw that giant for the first time. And all of David's brothers and all the other Israelites, they would see Goliath, and for 40 days they had, when Goliath had challenged them, they literally began to tremble and ran back to their tents. They pulled the covers over their head and went back to bed. "I can't do this today." And David said these words. He said, "Is there not a cause?" And which is a weird way to translate something, because here's what it means. It means, do we not have history where God has taken up our cause? Do we not have a cause to believe that God is with us? Do we not have a covenant with God? And so David says, "This uncircumcised Philistine will be no different than the lion or the bear." They said, "All right, here, let's put some armor on you." He let them, but then he couldn't do nothing. Because listen to me, man is not your rescue. We've got to learn to lean on our covenant. David faced that giant based on one thing and one thing only. God is for me and God is against him, because he has no covenant relationship with God, and God has called us, his people, into covenant relationship. Now, when Jesus came, Jesus opened the door that people of all nations can come to God if they choose to do so. That's why the gospel has to be preached to the whole world, so that anyone who chooses to come to Jesus can do it and have covenant with God. And have God on your side the way God was on David's side that day. That big giant said, "I will feed you to the birds today." He said, "Am I a dog that you send out a shepherd boy?" You know, it's like, but when David comes up there, he said, "You come at me with a sword and a shield. I come at you in the name of the Lord." He took up some smooth stone, whoosh, in a slingshot. Hit the giant right in the middle of his forehead. It was not the stone that killed the giant. It was not even the fact that when the giant was incapacitated, when the stone hit him and he fell to the ground, David had spoken these words of faith. David said, "Today I will cut off your head and give your body to the birds." David didn't even have a sword, but Goliath did, a great old big one. David slings his slingshot, which is symbolic of us releasing the rock of the revelation of the Word of God. That was quick, but I'm going to give it to you again so you'll get it. When God gives you a word to speak and you begin to speak it, it's as if you're slinging that sling of that rock of revelation that God gave you. You're talking about who Jesus is to you. Jesus said, "Who do people say I am?" They said, "Well, some think you're Elijah and some think you're John the Baptist." And Jesus says, "Well, who do you say I am?" And Peter pops off. He said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus looks at him and says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but God himself." And he says, "I tell you, upon this rock, I'll build my church." What rock? The rock of revelation that Jesus is Christ. Jesus is the Son of the living God. And he came to this earth and gave his life for us so that we can have covenant with God Almighty. And because of that, every promise God has ever made, they are yes in Christ. You're in Christ? Are you in Christ? Then what's the answer when you need something that God promised? What's the answer? Come on, what's the answer? Is it come back later? Is it maybe? Is it you don't deserve it? The answer is what, church? Yes. If God promised it and I'm in Christ, then the answer is yes. But watch this, it's not automatic. The answer is already yes, but I have to ask. So, because they're yes in Christ, through him, the amen is spoken by who? Us. If I don't speak the amen don't get spoken, does it? You know what amen means? It doesn't mean thank God we get to eat. It means let it be as it was declared. You want to briefly say it? So be it. Now, I got to make sure I finish up with David. David slung that rock, hit the giant. Giant fell down. David ran up there, took Goliath's sword, just like he had spoken, cut the giant's head off. All the Israelites then found their courage. Actually, what they found was their covenant courage. Everybody say covenant courage. Covenant courage is when you can't help but trust Almighty God, who is always for you and never against you. Amen. Well, David cut that giant's head off just like he had spoken. And the Israelites found their covenant courage, chased the Philistine down, wiped them out, and plundered them. Events began to unfold for David to become the king. And that's a story for another day. But later on, David wrote this psalm. And he says it this way. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. What is David telling his soul to do? Bless the Lord, O my soul. So I don't know what that means. Show us the NIV. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So if I want to bless God, I'm going to what? Praise God. Let me give it to you this way. Open that bag and give me my billfold. I want to bless somebody. I want to bless a kid today. I got any kids in here want to be blessed? All right, young man back here. What's an ice cream cone cost now? Three ought to get it, right? Come on up here. Let me ask you a question. Before I give this to you, do you have the ability right now? You got a wallet? Are you married? I thought maybe you was married. That's why you didn't have a wallet. Okay. You got a job? What are you waiting on? Do you have the ability right now to go out of here and if somebody drives you to like Brahms, can you buy ice cream cone?
Don't yet.
Ooh, he don't yet. You cannot buy yourself an ice cream cone at this moment.
Yes.
All right. So then I just do this. I say, I want you to have this. I want you to have it. I want you to have it. Boy, kids are good. Adults, she'll be standing there going, huh? Now, can I ask you a question? If we go into Brahms, I happen to know, there's this like a happy hour at Brahms in the afternoon, and they'll do like a soft cone for a buck. Could you buy yourself one? You could buy you one, and me one, and Pawpaw one.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know why he can do that? Because he got blessed. You know what I did for him? I empowered him. He can buy his own ice cream now. Go ahead. That's yours to keep. Go buy ice cream, whatever you need to do. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I blessed him, didn't I? But you know what? He blessed me more. What if I held that out there and he says, nah, I'm not comfortable like taking things from you. You might think that I'm trying to use you or something. I'm not. I would never ask you for anything. I'm like, you didn't ask me. I offered it to you, and I want you to have it. Let me put it this way. It's part of your benefits of being in a relationship with me, and I want you to have it. But I ain't going to cram it down your throat. If he didn't come out of his chair, he wouldn't have that $3. I ain't going back there to give it to him. I bet somebody else would have said, I'll take it. And I'd go, okay. But you can't take his part because his part is his part and no one else can have it. And if he doesn't take it, it'll just lay there for all of eternity. You see, your receiving healing doesn't take away from anybody else's healing. It actually helps them get healed. Your receiving finances does not take finances away from anybody else. It actually helps them receive finances. When David said, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, he meant, I'm going to empower God to do something. You say, what are you talking about, Willis? Empower God to do something. God is all powerful. I know that. But there are things God cannot do in a person's life until they respond. Here's the greatest example that there ever was. Who did Jesus die for? Answer, everyone. It is not God's will that anyone should perish. But all come to repentance. Peter said so in his epistle. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Whosoever what? Believes. Believes. And that belief is an active belief, not a passive, I agree with it belief. But I believe in Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm in covenant with Jesus. Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, you're my everything. Jesus. So David wrote, "So I'm telling you, empower God to work on our behalf by praising Him." What are the benefits of God? Number one, He forgives all your sins. Not just the big ones, not just the little ones. It's both extremes of that. Everything that the enemy could possibly hold against you, God says, "I forgive your sins." They're all forgiven. What a benefit. What's the next word? And watch this. Pull out a coin on one side, it's always heads, and normally it's tails on the other side, unless somebody's messing with you. And it's the same coin. The tail side's different, but it's part of the same coin. Scripture links forgiveness to healing. God promised healing. Jesus demonstrated healing. Holy Spirit brought healing. And the same Spirit that lives in Christ lives in me. And He who raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies. How many know I'm quoting the word to you? If death is attacking you, the Holy Spirit can make your body come alive again. But you're going to have to open your mouth. David opened his mouth. He was reminding his mouth and his soul, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His benefits. Don't forget about how much God loves you. Don't forget the covenant you have. Don't forget that God forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." But listen to me. The enemy wants to convince you that, yeah, God forgives you, but now healing, maybe will, maybe won't. Sometimes He does, sometimes He don't. What verse of Scripture is that kind of thinking based on? It's not. It's based on experiences that we've all had. We've all had them. It's based on human reasoning and human understanding. David said, don't forget the benefits of God. He forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. So here's the truth. I am, scripturally speaking, just as healed as I am forgiven. I'm going to say it again. We, as the covenant people of God, have just as much right, covenant right, to healing as we have to forgiveness. We line ourselves up with the principles of forgiveness. Confess your sin to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Yes, sir. Amen. We line up with the covenant principles of forgiveness. We receive what? Forgiveness. We line up with the covenant principles of healing. We receive healing. It's a promise. And if I take a hold of it and I won't let go, I'm either going to get it on this side of eternity or I'm going to step into eternity hanging on to that promise. I cannot lose. My healing was bought and paid for when Jesus died on the cross. See, that's how we need to believe. But when we're afflicted with a sickness, we don't need to start believing for that eternal healing. You hear me? Don't be in a hurry to get out of here. People need you. Be willing to fight the good fight of faith and stick around. You hear me? Because God wants to show His goodness to me and through me. Because He redeemed my life from the pit of destruction. I've been called by name. I've been crowned with love Himself and been given compassion by He who is the God of all comfort and the Father of compassion. All of that belongs to you. All of it. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to end a little different today. I want what you have, Lord. I'm not asking for anything you didn't promise. I believe you want me to have it. Can you say that with me? I believe you want me to have it, Lord. Father, I pray for your people right now. However they're hearing this word from you, Lord God, I believe that you're stirring our hearts today for more of your will to be done just because you want me to have the best. Thank you, Father. I receive it.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.